Everybody hear me all right? Okay. Yes, I, as you said, I do live in Panama, but I just moved, so I'm sorry this will be in English. I'm talking today about Docker. How many people have used Docker for longer than 20 minutes? Okay, not many. Okay. And you're still here, so that's good. So let's do a quick introduction to Docker and in general, in containers in general, because more and more these days, we can't just talk about Docker on its own, especially if we're going to be talking about it within the context of Windows. Dockers are, our containers are not magical VMs, not magical virtual machines. They're a separate concept altogether. We won't get into the details of it on today's talk, but they're considered, but it's helpful to think of them as virtual machines, just conceptually, even though there are some important differences. Compared to virtual machines, they're fast, they're small, they're isolated in the sense that you can't escape your virtual machine unless you explicitly, your container, unless you explicitly say that you want to access something, okay? And that's even within that, even within those confines, it's very hard to escape from your container. They share an OS kernel, that's very important, okay? It's very important to remember that these are not self-contained operating systems. It's really important that you remember that, okay? The two main competitors here, not really competitors, they're very close partners, Docker and Windows containers. I'll be talking about Docker for this talk. If you missed Victor Silva's talk this morning, he covered Windows containers very well, and his talk will be was recorded, so I would encourage you to watch it. He did cover quite a bit on at the end of his talk on Windows containers, which have come quite a while. I'll cover them a little bit later. But the big one here is Docker. They've been around since 2013. That's important to remember. 2013 wasn't that long ago, and yet it feels like Docker has been around forever, okay? And we'll cover that. The fact that it comes from 2013, we'll come back to that a little bit later. Originally on Linux, still on Linux, open source, it's both a company and a technology. The main concepts behind containers. You have the concept of an image at the beginning, which is similar to a virtual machine image. Okay? When you have an image, you've taken some technology, database, Elasticsearch, something like that, and you've made it available for other people to use. Okay? From that image, you can build up, build a container from it. So on your machine, you could have, say, an Ubuntu image, a Postgres image, an Elasticsearch image, and from them, you build the actual containers, which is what you interact with. Okay, so you don't interact with the images directly, you build containers from them. Where layers come in is you can layer your images together so that you've got a container that brings in a Postgres, a database of some sort, brings in a memcache from another image, and then you can just layer up your containers based on those images. So let's get started with a quick demo. And I glossed over the fact that this is Linux, okay? For the most part, when we talk about Docker, you're running on Linux. Until Microsoft's offering becomes more prevalent and more robust, you have to consider technologies that run only on Linux. And this being a Microsoft or a Windows talk, we're going to talk about ways that we can run on, still use Docker in the Windows environment, even within that confine. While I figure out why the things are not showing there, the interesting thing with Docker is, up until recently, Docker was on Windows, since it was Linux. It is still running within a virtual machine. Okay, so even though it's a container running within a Linux virtual machine. Okay, it's at first you used Docker Toolbox, which ran a virtual box Linux virtual machine. Now, with the recent changes, you can run Docker natively within Windows, and it'll use Hyper-V. Okay, so and that's why I highlighted earlier that shared OS kernel. So even though you're running Docker containers in Windows, hopefully shortly, you still have to keep in your head that you are running a virtual machine. So when you try to connect to the container, you're really connecting to a virtual machine, and that virtual machine is passing your connection on to the container. Okay, so. I'll walk through the mechanics of the demo. We're having display issues here, so I do apologize for that. So the idea of where you could use Docker with an existing application, and then where you can use it going forward. Now, it being Linux-based, you're limited, obviously, to applications that can run on Linux. So if you think of a traditional ASP.NET application, not even a .NET Core, which gives you more options, but a traditional .NET application that runs, it's a web application, maybe it's an MVC application, connects up to a database, okay? SQL Server is the obvious choice for a database, but it doesn't have to be, okay? There are a lot with Microsoft's increasing emphasis on Linux. There are a lot more options to your peripheral technologies, such as the database. Okay, I've mentioned PostgreSQL. Has anybody used PostgreSQL before? It's a great database. Okay, I don't want to say it's a great little database. It's a really good database. It suffers a little bit from tooling, in that it's not as pretty as Management Studio is. But I would strongly encourage you to look into using PostgreSQL for a database. Now, that is something that runs equally well on Windows and Linux. Okay, so you can develop locally, you can deploy your application on PostgreSQL, and the virtual machine. Ah, wonderful. So we're not going to use the PostgreSQL sample here, because the more interesting one is coming up. But the idea is, without going through this is a sample application. I lived in, I'm from Canada, and I lived in Calgary, and once a year the city kind of shuts down. They have a rodeo and a stampede where the net effect of it is that everybody's IQ drops about 20 points, and one of the highlights is that all the companies downtown have a pancake breakfast. So, you know, you can walk from one company to another, and they're all serving pancakes up. So this application, it's a sample application. It's a really good sample application. It's done by a friend of mine, and it shows off a bunch of different technologies, connecting to different databases, using Azure Search, for example. I would encourage you to check it out, not just for this. So right now it's connecting up to a local Postgres database, and what I'll do very quickly is shut down that database so it is no longer working. And instead, I will start up a Docker one. And I'm going to cheat because I can do that. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to do this because this will take more time than I've got. So the idea would be that you would start a Postgres database in Docker. And yeah. And with that, in pgadmin, which is the Postgres admin tool, now I can connect up to the Docker instance instead of the local Windows one, okay? So this, I've got, if you can see that, I've got two Postgres connections going here, and I'm right now connected to the one on the Docker image, and if I try to connect up to this one on the local host, it'll ask for a password, and it will, in theory, fail for me because there's no instant running. There's no actual server running, okay? So where else can you use Linux? I mean, I've already given you the answer. It's with .NET Core, okay? So the idea is that you can build a .NET Core application on your Windows machine, deploy it on Linux. And that's where the power comes in from Docker, is that you can now deploy this application on a Docker machine, a Docker container using .NET Core. So we'll switch up the applications. Yeah. Oh, actually, I'm not going to show that application. Genfu. So this is a .NET Core application, another sample application. And again, I'll show you the link to this one as well. This one's a self-contained one. And before I go on to this one, there's not just a database you can connect to. There is a Memcache, which runs on Linux. There is Elasticsearch. There's any number of technologies that you could use with your existing application that uses like a REST. If you're doing microservices, I don't know if anybody saw Mariano's talk this morning on microservices. Docker is very well suited for microservices. So this sample application is a self-contained one, a .NET Core application used to generate test data. It's also a useful little tool for your unit tests if you want. You say you want a name, an age, and it has some semantics that recognizes when you want an email address, if you want a regular address or a city. It's a cool little app, but I don't really care about it. So what we can do with this application, this is running now within Visual Studio, okay? And what you can do is package it up using a Docker file, which I'll put in a slightly smaller font now. Okay, and this is a Docker file. This is where, and I can show you the interaction between images and containers here, which I had to skip over later. So you see at the top there, this is where we compose our image that we want to deploy to other applications, or to Docker, and for other people to download and use. So we start with an existing image, the ASP.NET Core image, and I'm using a very old one. They've just updated, I think just today even, or earlier, a couple days ago, they've updated to the latest core. They updated the image to the latest core. And so what I'm saying, and these images are all stored on a central location called Docker Hub. So similar to how you would look at NuGet, for example. You take your images, you publish them up to Docker Hub, you advertise them, and then people can just start using it. Okay? You can also have your own personal hub. Of course, you don't want to make all of your applications available to everybody. So within your organization, you can create your own repository of Docker images to be used by other people in your organization. So from here, it's just straight commands. We want to copy our app directory to the copy of the current directory to the app directory in our ASP.NET core. After we've downloaded the ASP.NET core image, we copy our current directory to the app directory within that image. So if you look at genfu source, our app directory, which I believe, the current directory, where our Docker file is, we copy the current directory to the app directory in that image. And then we run dnu restore, okay? Restore all our packages. We expose port 5000, just because we need to run this on some port. It's a web application, and 5000 is as good as any. And then we specify the entry point. Once we launch this container, what do? We're running the website where we launch the .NET Core application. And this, like you can see, it's a very old one because it still uses the project.json file. I've got to talk to those guys about updating this application that I don't care about. And once you've done that, you can create your own personal image here. Let me make this a little bit bigger. Let's try that. Yeah, that'll work. So, set the pointer. You'll see you'll see at the top of this list of images, one called genfu, one that I've created based on that Docker file, okay? So I've created an image locally, and I can then run it on Docker and locally again and create a container based on that image and test it out, make sure it all works. I'm not going to do it here because it's not that fun to look at it here. I'll show you it somewhere a little bit more interesting. And then right below that, after I've done with that image, then I can publish it onto Docker Hub, which is what I've done. Go to Docker Hub here. And let's search for genfu. And you can publish this image, and once it gets published, then anybody, anywhere, can download it and use it. So, did I not search? Yeah. So I've already published it up there, partially because one of the things I glossed over here is when you first use an image, which I'll show shortly, the first thing it has to do is download it from Docker Hub. And that can take a while, depending on your connection. But every time you use it afterwards, every time you create a container of it afterwards, then it recognizes that it's done locally. And the images are versioned. I've only got one version of this one. But you can specify a version to use for your containers. Now I've got this one here. So let's switch back over to the Mac. And clear that up. Clear that up. It's not going anywhere. Let's start a new one. Okay. And now let's show an actual interesting command here. Name netconf UI. Okay. This is where the meat of it is. Okay? Docker run. This says, create a container for me. And it says, give it a name. You don't need to give it a name. If you don't give it a name, it will give you one that it generates. And it'll be long and not necessarily hard to remember, but annoying to type in. It'll be like nauseous whale or, you know, running back trout or something like that. Something really long and hard that you always have to constantly refer back to. So it's a good idea to give it a name that you can remember. The dash D just means to, I think, give the get, if you don't give it a dash D, what it will do is leave your connection connected to the image afterwards. And it won't, this detaches the command, the window from the actual container that you generate. Dash P is for mapping ports. As I said, we exposed port 5000 in our image. This is mapping port 8080 locally to port 5000 in the container. Dash IT are not terribly important. I means interactive, T means pseudo TTY. And then at the end is the important bit, where are you getting this image? It'll look through the repositories that are configured on your machine. Right now that's just Docker Hub, and it'll download this image if you don't have it already, and then create a container based on it. Okay? This took no time at all. I've already got the image locally, as you can see here. I got a few images, actually, no, just the one. So now I have a Docker container running. Docker PS tells me all my current running containers. Is that interesting? Not really. That's dull. So let's show localhost 8080. And hopefully I've stalled long enough to actually show it. So here's our .NET Core application running in a Docker container on a Mac. Okay? Anybody seen Inception, the movie? Okay. It's hard to keep these things straight in your head. Okay? Back here at my virtual machine, I'm not going to switch to it, but if you're running this, if I was running this application, on that virtual machine, it would be running on a Linux container within a Linux virtual machine within a Windows virtual machine on an OS X host. Okay? It's very easy to lose that. Hey, Sid. What are you doing, sweetie? Feels good to ignore your daughter. So, let's go one step further. Oh, man. I skipped some stuff and now I got all kinds of time. Microsoft Azure. I have created a virtual machine, a Linux virtual machine on Azure. Azure is all over Docker. You search for Docker, you can find a virtual machine, Linux virtual machine, pre-configured with Docker on it. Okay? So, here's the DNS name, genfoo.cloudapp.net. And that is going to fail. I have not launch this container yet on this machine. Okay? Easy enough. Genfu, cloudapp.net. This is the password. I'm not kidding, that is the password. Okay. And we run the exact same command that I did earlier. Docker run. Oh, in this case, slight change to it. I'm running this one on port 80, because there's nothing else running on this virtual machine, so I just did it on port 80. Now, the important thing you have to do with Azure machines is that you do have to open up port 80 on the Azure portal, which I've already done. So, Docker run. Genfu, same command, just a different port. And it's done. Go back here, reload, still fails. I don't know if anybody saw my workshop a couple days ago. We do still have network latency involved here. Okay? Give it a couple seconds. That's looking a little better. I don't know what's wrong with the image on the Mac that makes the little ninja not appear, but it works fine on Azure. So now, running on an Docker image, running on a Linux virtual machine, running on Azure. Okay? Here, before I close this down, I mentioned how you got to wrap your head around where everything is located. You have to do that if you're working in the command line a lot too. Right now, my command line, let me show you something here to Docker exec. What is that now? Double check that. Call it. Oh, netconf. Conf UI. Ooh, they're having more fun than we are, aren't they? Okay, now. What I've done here is I've called a command docker exec, which is calling a command from within the container. And in this case, I've just called bash. So now I'm connected to the application within the container. So if I use my list command here, I can see exactly what's on the file system within that container. Okay? Now, where things get confusing, in my opinion, even more so than keeping the containers right in your head, is this command prompt is pointing at the Docker file system, and if I exit out of that, I'm now within the SSH session of the Linux virtual machine. And now I have to exit out of that. Now I'm back locally on my machine. You start typing ls commands and move stuff around, you keep a close eye on your file system. Okay. Okay, what can we do with Docker? Back on home turf. Okay. Windows containers, I'm going to skip over a lot of this. Like I said, Victor covered it very well on his talk. Important thing here is it's, first of all, not in tech preview. It's now, as of a couple of weeks ago, RTM. And you can actually play with Docker on Windows 10. You can play with Windows containers. You can download a Windows Server container on Windows 10. The important thing there is that they've got a PowerShell interface to it. So for Windows containers, you can use the Docker commands like I saw there. And first of all, don't shy away from the command line, okay? Typing is good for the wrists. You don't have to drag stuff around all the time. You do it, you type all the time to get your code done, unless Microsoft has its way. And the other thing, so you have Docker and PowerShell that can both do essentially the same thing. Not essentially, they can do exactly the same thing. You can use them interchangeably. So the nice thing there is, if you're familiar with Docker, you've done it a lot of time in Linux, then you can keep doing it. If you like PowerShell, you've got all your stuff done in PowerShell, you've got PowerShell experts, you can keep using PowerShell. And two types of containers, which I'm going to gloss over there. What can you use containers for? Microservices, I mentioned before. I'll tell you what I got really excited about when I first heard about Docker is build agents for build servers. Okay? It's a pain dealing with virtual machines. It's 10 times that pain when you have to deal with them for build agents, for TeamCity, I'm sure for others. Deployment, I mean, look at these guys deploying. They look like they could do it all day, right? And no more works on my machine. You need, somebody's got a problem in production, get a copy of that container, download it, and connect up to it. That's in my head. I'm not sure if it actually works. DevOps, there's with the proliferation of developers and operations kind of merging together, the idea of Docker really helps kind of the automated deployment side of things. And it can really, that right now, the nice thing about Docker is you can use it to set up different environments, dev environments and test environments very, very quickly. In my opinion, not necessarily quite ready for production servers yet, but it's getting there quickly. Like I said earlier, it's only been around since 2013, okay? So it hasn't quite caught up to the hype yet, but it's getting pretty close. Some gotchas, which are no longer gotchas. It's not in tech preview anymore. I shouldn't have crossed out, it's still a virtual machine. It is still a virtual machine. It's Hyper-V now instead of VirtualBox. Again, it's a shared kernel. You can't run Windows applications on a Linux container. It's still Linux. You're running a Linux container on Windows, but you can't run Windows containers in there. Okay? And you do need a lot of patience. Where can you get more information? The Docker docs are good. There's a couple of Pluralsight courses by Nigel Poulton that are very good. The URLs for the two sample applications I've done. And finally, on westerndevs.com where I blog, then you can find some posts on that. Western Devs is we got some podcasts and blog posts and most of them are useful. I'd say half of them are useful. Good 30% of them are useful. So that's it for me. And thank you for your patience for this. I really encourage you to look into Docker and get, especially on the Windows side of things now that it's RTM. And thank you so much. I'll be outside if anybody has any questions. Yeah.